Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we have to gather together. We ask your blessing. We ask your peace to be upon us, your shalom to rule over our hearts and our minds and over this fellowship today. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit's saying to us through Ephesians chapter 5. And we pray that you would teach us that this is a grand and glorious text, and one that's for our good and for the good of family and the good of our good of us, for our good as Christians. We pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll read the text and then we'll talk about it. We'll read it a couple of times today. Listen to what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior." The church, his body of which he is the Savior. "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Now I read that. I was taught, as many of you, here's traditionally, pastors and teachers and Christians in general have fearfully and carefully addressed these verses. We've been scared of them because they're verses concerning women. In particular, though, he's making it clear he's talking to wives. He's not saying, "Women, submit yourself to every man." That's not what he said. The title of the message, by the way, is this: Biblical Submission is Neither Repressive Nor Sexist. I like that title. Because our world will preach at you, and non-biblical thinkers, even within the church, will tell you that this is an outdated, repressive text, that it represses women. And it does not do that unless the church is repressed. If Christ is repressing the church, then I will agree this is a repressive text against wives. But it's not. So let's make an agreement. I will not be afraid to teach this passage, and you don't be afraid of the passage being taught. Okay? There's nothing to be afraid of. There's really not. This is a good text. This is a good word that I think you should find it liberating. There is a bundle of blessing wrapped up in any and every command of God, and this is not any different. Remember, what we did last week was show that chapter 5, verse 21, which reads, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is the umbrella, we said, the umbrella in which under which the following verses, such as these two, three that we're looking at today, about wives to husbands, the verses following, the husbands to wives, about children and parents that we'll look at in a few weeks, slaves and masters, and we can't really relate to that in our context, but we would say maybe employers or employees to employers, that this verse, chapter 5, verse 21, that precedes this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is the umbrella in which all these other relationships fall. If you can understand that, it's to understand this. We are to submit ourselves, rank ourselves under one another as believers. And that is what we talked about that last week. Every Christian relationship is covered under this umbrella. Every Christian relationship. I enjoy thinking about chapter 5, verse 21 when I come to relate to my own children, because they are believers and they are my children. As my children, they have a responsibility to obey me. I have a responsibility not to exasperate them. But as my brother and sister in the Lord, I have a responsibility to rank myself under them and how I interact with them. I am not their superior, but I do have, it's a unique situation, I do have a God-given authority that I have to exercise in order for them to function properly. But every Christian relationship is covered under this umbrella. Submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. Every Christian relationship is to submit to mutual submission, is to submit to this principle of mutual submission. I mean, every single one. There's not one Christian relationship that we are not to have that attitude anyway. And it is an attitude. At least it's an attitude. And just remember, our definition was very simple. Definition of submission, rank yourself under another. Rank yourself under another. See, submission in the world is so perverted. It's sickening and it's disgusting. If your mind and heart has been purified through the indwelling work of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to purify and forgive you of your sins, He's changed the way you think about things, you can't look at submission any longer the way the world does. The world has twisted it. The world has twisted it. But God says, submit yourselves one to another. Rank yourselves under the authority of another Christian. Give preference to. Yield yourself. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, tells us to think, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. In other words, think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Doesn't mean you got to walk around putting yourself down. You don't have to make yourself look bad in order to make somebody else look good. This submitting yourself or ranking yourself under is described in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and following, those verses that follow. Paul simply writes, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now he's talking about Christian to Christian, but the whole idea about let it begin with devotion. Have each other's back. Be committed to protecting one another and so on. But love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. That's verse 10. In brotherly love. Now listen to this. Honor one another above yourselves. That's submission. That's ranking someone above yourself. Honor one another above yourselves. And it's so clear. It's a beautiful way to think about what is submission. That is far and vastly different from the way the world would have us to think about submission. The way the world thinks about submission is repression. And this is not repressive. This is freeing. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul writes, he says, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt of love. Have in mind the attitude of, I owe you a debt of love. If you put yourself in a superior position, you don't see yourself owing anyone anything at any time. But biblical submission, if we're submitting ourselves one to another, sees and has the attitude of, I'm going to walk in such a way that I owe you a debt of love, a continuing debt of love. Chapter 2, verse 3, the last part in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Give preference to, rank yourself under. I told you this story 100 times. I'll tell it again because I think it's so good. It was so helpful in my life. And that was when I was in 6th grade, the teacher wrote on the top of my paper, you're the most conceited child I've ever had. And I said, wow, that's awesome. It just sounded really good. I must really be cool. And then I went home and I looked up what that meant in the dictionary. I was like, oh, it's not so good. I think more highly of myself than I ought. And there's obviously lacking humility. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Chapter 2, verse 4 in Philippians. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Mutual submission requires or will look like we actually care about each other. You ever talk to somebody that you want to bring up a subject and you bring it up, but they just keep talking about what they want to talk about? It's like, did you just not hear what I said? And you know that they didn't. But you've also done that before as well. But mutual submission would say, I would look not only to what's interesting to me, but also consider what's interesting to others. And that's not too hard to do. Not with the help of the Spirit. Remember, we said last week, chapter 5, verse 18 gives us a wonderful command, where we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. But when you think about it, God commanding you to be filled with Himself. See, oftentimes we look at commands as we look at the Old Testament through eyes that twist, again, twisting God's Word, but we look through these commands as drudgery. Things that we would do otherwise, but we can't, because God says we can't. We'd like to do it, but we just can't. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is what you were made for as a new creature in Christ. God made you. He fit you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit when we're born again. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we talked about that last week, you can listen to that message online if you want to, is how we are to live. And if we're going to live in mutual submission to one another, we all agreed, I think, that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, this command, any command from the Lord, is a do it or else command. But God commands, when He makes commands, and as we see them in the New Testament, He's commanding a blessing for you. If you'll willingly rank yourself under Him. Because that's mankind's biggest problem anyway, isn't it? When it comes into a relationship with God, we're butting up against Him and saying, I'm the king of the throne. And God has declared He is the king. It is a commanded blessing. It's God's best for you and for me always as believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There could be no greater blessing. So if chapter 5, verse 21 is a product of being filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, submitting ourselves one to another, is a product of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because I think we'd agree you can't submit yourself or rank yourself under anyone apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, giving you a desire to do so. Remember Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it's God who works in you both to will and to act according to His good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure that you would submit to one another, rank yourselves under. But it's God who makes us willing and able to do that. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is necessary for this to happen. So chapter 5, verse 21, submit yourself one to another out of reverence for Christ, is also then a command with a blessing attached to it. I don't read the blessing, but you know that if God says to do it, then there is a blessing for obedience and a blessing for trusting in Him. It's a commanded blessing to submit yourself one to another out of reverence for Christ. Let's just think of what would some of those blessings be. Definitely the shalom of God, the peace of God, would rule your heart. You know when you're out of kilter with God. You know when things aren't right. When you've been doing your own thing in your own way, what's one of the first indications in your own heart that tells you things aren't right? You lack peace, right? And it's just not any peace. It's just not a peace of mind and tranquility. It's the peace of God. Christians were made to be ruled by the peace of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be part of that is you will experience the peace of God. And when things aren't right, you don't have peace. So one of the blessings of obeying God and willingly ranking yourself under, in other words, not thinking too highly of yourself, not being involved in your own things to do all the time, is to enjoy the peace of God, to have a clear conscience before God. So it's a commanded blessing to submit yourselves one to another. So if, and chapter 5, verse 21 is that umbrella then, that contextualizes all the other relationships that we're looking at. Marriage, family, and vocation. And if that is the umbrella that contextualizes those relationships, and if you can agree with me that it is a command, but it's a commanded blessing, God commands it that you would be blessed, that we would be blessed, Because that's, after all, Paul's after that when it comes to the Philippian believers, that they would be in unity with each other. But if it is an umbrella principle that contextualizes these relationships, that's a command which is loaded with potential blessings if you obey it, then so is our text for today. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. So that then becomes a command that if obeyed, you will find unfolding from that obedience to the Lord and your willing submission to your husband a blessing that unpacks beyond your wildest dream. Now, it may not be your dream of things on earth. That would be your dreams of the joy of the Lord all the time. This is loaded with blessing from the Lord. So because of that, because I know it's a command, and if God gives a command to His people, it's a command that's loaded with blessings. He honors and blesses obedience every time, as He sees fit. So I don't need to walk on eggshells. I guess I'm circling back around where I was before. I don't need to walk on eggshells as I teach it, because I know that there are blessings bundled up in these verses. Wives, rank yourselves under your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church ranks herself under Christ, submits to Christ, so also wives should submit or rank herself under, as wives should rank themselves under their husbands in everything. Again, notice He's not talking to women and saying, women, submit yourself to every man. Now that, I think, would be repressive and sexist. But this text has been so convoluted, even within the church, that we don't even ever want to talk about that. Let's just, like, take Mother's Day, for instance. At least my experience has been, there are no greater saints on earth than mothers on Mother's Day. But my experience growing up was, when you get to Father's Day, you better put your crash helmet on and tie yourself down, because you're going to take a beating from the pulpit. Right, Doug? That we would hear that, right? It was a good time for the preacher to unload on men. But you better not unload on women, because of the fear that the world has placed in men and the church, that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if that's true, I can show you a woman, a wife, who's not submitting to her husband. I can show you a woman who is not ranking herself under other Christians in her life. Because it all begins to revolve around her, and the church has been really, and I'm scared to death as I say this, the church has been terrible in serving women. We've sucked on the poisonous gas of secular humanism, to quote Kimber Kaufman, for so long, even in the church, that we cheat women out of a bundle of blessing. We cheat women who are wives, women who are potential wives, out of a blessing. Now, if I've ever done that, I'm sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness. That isn't going to happen here today. But nor is this a passage that is to be used to beat women up either. It's not to say, look how rotten you've been, you haven't done this. It's simply to say, here's light. Here's light for you wives that will shine so brightly on what God has said, that you might have and live in a commanded blessing from God. Now, how you submit, what does that look like? I hope you're not expecting a long list today of these are the things. If you're a good submissive wife, if you're ranking yourself under your husband, you will do Proverbs 31. You will do this, 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 and this, and this. Because That submission, that ranking yourself under, is not a list of things to do. It's who you are, who you become by choice. But the world has twisted it, so haven't they? So it's terrible what the world has done, and we've perverted it in the church as well. And we shouldn't be surprised, because people pervert what is good all the time. They call evil good, and they call good evil. But we're not going to let this verse be these verses be twisted by the world's view any longer. And we're going to hop off the bandwagon that requires that we call this a repressive sexist verses. We're going to find the blessing here today. So, let's just talk about these verses, and I think we'll find them to be very helpful. And I think that if you are a wife, you will, if you run to this and seek God's face, see, I'd rather the Lord instruct you as you're ready for what this ranking under mean in your home. And I'll give you the basic principles of the blessing and what it means. So, first thing to understand and why this passage is not repressive or sexist is this. There is nowhere in Scripture that would indicate that wives and women are second-class citizens. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. None. The world twists and perverts what God calls good and says this passage, because it's telling women to submit themselves, subject themselves to men. And that's not what this says. But that's what the world has done with it. And that's what the church has largely done with it. He's specifically talking to wives, but we have to understand, a wife that is obeying God, obeying Christ, ranking herself under her husband, is not being repressed. And this is not a sexist passage. She is not a second-class citizen. If she feels like one because she's being treated like one, then I can show you a husband that needs to repent. And next week we'll get to discuss the joy and the beauty of a husband's role in his position as husband. Both people are on equal ground as citizens and sons and daughters in the kingdom of heaven. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28 says this, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." He's talking to men and to women. You are all sons of God. He's talking to blood-bought believers, people that have trusted Jesus Christ. You can go back and through see this, who he's writing to. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ," men and women. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Isn't that liberating? Women's lib. That's outdated. Feminine, whatever it's called today. Listen, right here, in Christ is where freedom lies. And ignorant men and women have twisted the truth. God in Christ Jesus makes us one in Christ Jesus, men and women. And that's very, very important. So first, remember, there's never a teaching in Scripture that in the kingdom there are second-class citizens. There are no such thing as second-class citizens. Second, every believer in Jesus Christ, whether a woman or a man, a child or a slave, we share together, men, women, child, slave. I'm looking at the relationships that we have here in Ephesians chapter 5. We share in the exact same salvation. Men are not saved a degree greater than women. And that is truth. It's one salvation for all his people. Jesus shed the same blood for men, women, children, slaves. this salvation is one salvation for every man, woman, and child who comes to Jesus Christ. We share in the same standing as sons. And you say, but I'm a woman. How can I be a son? Here's what the Scripture is teaching you. It's saying this. Women and men are sons of God. And then in this era, what that meant was you are heirs. For a woman to be an heir is groundbreaking, because that wasn't the norm. But in the kingdom, the Bible tells us that if you're in Christ Jesus, whether man or woman, slave or free, and the list goes on of all the different differences of people, you are an heir. You have an inheritance. And you're equal sharers. It's stated so clearly. You're heirs of God, Romans chapter 8 tells us, and co-heirs with Christ. Men and women. In the world, as progressive as the world likes to want you to believe it, men and women are not treated equal. They never will be treated equal. The more they try to equalize, the more of a gulf there is between the two. And it's sickening and it's perverted, and we need to stop engaging in that type of nonsense with the world. Believe what God says. Obey what He says to do. And you'll live in that freedom that you have. Doesn't mean you won't personally experience some repression or sexism in this world, but not in the kingdom of heaven. It never will happen. We share, men, women, and children, we share together the exact same new birth. We share the same spirit, the same promises, the same hope together in the kingdom. For as Romans 2:11 says, God does not show favoritism. Praise the Lord. God does not show favoritism. You've heard the prayers of the ancient rabbis would teach the Jewish men, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a woman. Phew. But we can embrace our sisters and our brothers in the Lord and say, we are co-heirs with Christ, heirs of God. We share in the same salvation, the same spirit, the same hope, the same new birth, the same filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we have to know. There is no second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. And if that's true, then this commanded blessing is not suggesting that there are second-class citizens in the home. But there are distinctive roles and functions. And that's for there to be harmony and peace. So chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 9, where it speaks about marriage and family and vocation, we begin to see that there are differences, distinctive roles. There's no difference in worth or status. When you see that status, if there's a difference in status and worth, it's man-imposed and not God-imposed. The world has so perverted marriage that it's just no fun if you follow the world's way. But in matters of role and function, there are distinctives. There has to be distinctives, but it does not mean one is superior over the other. For example, regarding authority and different roles and functions, we know from the Bible it tells us how about government. God has given us governments, has given governments a certain amount of authority over people. God's given governments not all authority over people, but a certain amount of authority over people. How about church leaders in church? The Bible discusses church leaders, and God has given the leaders in the church a certain amount of authority over the people in the congregation. A certain amount. He does not give absolute authority to anyone. Every source of authority has its limitations. There are boundaries set by God. Jesus alone has absolute authority. He is Lord. It's not the government that's Lord. It's not church leaders that are Lord. You should, the Bible tells us to respect and honor submit yourself to, rank yourself under, but understanding this, that's a willing submission. And there is a lot of power, if I can use that illustration for a minute, in your willing submission. No one made you obey God. You are obeying God, and as a result of obeying Him, there is a willingness to submit yourself to the God-given authorities that God has established. Then, as we see in chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 9, God's given husbands a certain amount of authority, again, certain amount of authority over the wife. Parents are given a certain amount of authority over their children. And think of slaves and masters, we could say employers have been given a certain amount of authority over employees. And that's the way it is. A certain amount, but not superiority over a certain amount. So I think that's really important to establish that as well. This is not a demand for submission to an absolute authority. It is submitting yourself, ranking yourself under someone who has been given a certain amount of authority. So we'll answer the last question, verses 22 through 24. That's our text for today. Why the command to wives and husbands is not repressive or sexist? I think we've already answered that, really. But I think one thing you can take away from it is because it's not repressive or sexist, because the Bible's command, God's command to submit, requires obedience to God. You answer to God. You're not in trouble with me. You're not in trouble with others. It's God you answer to here. It's the command to submit requires obedience to God, but the act of submission or ranking yourself under your husband is born out of voluntary willingness to submit to your husband. But that's under the umbrella of obedience to God. Oh God, you have loved me. You have given everything. You ask of me this one thing, many things, but you ask of me this that I might be blessed. Make me willing. Remember Philippians 2:13. I already mentioned it, that it's God who works and wills. I forget the verse now. It just slipped my mind. To make us both willing. I'm going to read it. I've got to satisfy my own curiosity. For it's God who works in you to will and to act, both to will and to act according to His good pleasure, depending on God, the Holy Spirit. So He requires our obedience. We choose to obey Him out of the willing heart that He's given us, and then we make a voluntary decision. If you're a wife, or one day you will be a wife, it's a voluntary willingness to do so. Nobody's making you get married, at least not in this country. But if you do so, it's a voluntary willingness, and that is a good thing. It's a voluntary ranking yourself under your own husband. Now, I think it's really neat that Paul says that. Look what he says, wives, submit to your husbands. It doesn't say wives, submit to another man who's a husband of somebody else. Don't buy that for a second. A wife is to submit to her chosen husband, not to somebody else. That's not how this works. That's how things get perverted and warped and twisted. Never, ever, from the standpoint as a wife would submit to her husband, should another woman submit to another man. Except we have Ephesians 5:21, which says submit yourself to one to another. That would mean no one is going to exercise superiority over another ever. It's a mutual submission. Outside of this family relationship, but at home, in the marriage, it's a wife voluntarily submitting to her husband, her own husband. I think that's just powerful. He says, to your husband implies that she possesses her husband. The wife possesses her husband. It's not that she is not the property of her husband. It was Christianity that has liberated women the world over, but we still see repression and sexism all over the world. But within the true church of Jesus Christ, there has been freedom and dignity given to women. Dignity given to the wife. She possesses her husband. And the husband possesses her. It's a mutual possession. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians about how the woman's body does not belong to herself, nor does the husband's body belong to himself alone, but each belong to the other. It's a mutual submission. It's a mutual ranking under in a strong sense. It's an equal possession. But how beautiful it is when you know as a woman and you're a wife to someone that you have made a conscious decision to obey God, and in doing so you make a willing choice to submit yourself to your husband, to rank yourself under. And there's, again, you've got to go through the list of what that means, and you're probably going to find out in many respects the hard way of what that means. But be open and pray and seek God through His Scripture as to what does that mean in your relationship with your husband, what that submission looks like. As to the Lord, Paul says, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The ultimate submission is to Christ. The ultimate ranking under is Christ. You know, as equally bad of a prayer as a man praying, God, I thank you I'm not a woman, would be a woman praying, God, why did you make me a woman? Because here's why I can say that. When you look at the rest of that verse, and it's the rest of that passage, it says, For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now you begin to think, okay, ideally, this wifely submission to my husband, ideally speaking, it's as if I'm submitting to Christ Himself, who is my Savior. So it really puts a huge potential amount of tension here, because the expectation should be there. My husband is supposed to be like Christ, but he's not. What do I do? But here's as unto the Lord, your submission as unto the Lord. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That requires filling of the Holy Spirit. It requires a death to yourself. Any filling for you or me, for man or woman or child who says, fill me with the Holy Spirit, requires you to die to yourself. Your challenge today, if you're a wife or one day you want to be a wife, is to die. Not to all your dreams and ambitions in life and goals that you have, but when it comes to obeying God and saying, I will submit to my husband, for this is where peace will be found, a blessing will be found, there you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because this is the safest and most blessed place for the wife to be. Samuel, be still, please. The safest place for the wife to be is under the authority of her husband, who loves her. Next week we're going to have, to say fun wouldn't be the right word, but husbands, love your wives. Husband, love your wife. As Christ loved the church. We'll get into that next week. There is a bundle of blessing to be found if you'll take this section of Scripture and prayerfully walk through it before the Lord. What does voluntary ranking under look like? I can tell you what it's not, and then we'll quit. It is not becoming a doormat. It is not walking around with your head hung in shame. It's not a whole lot of things, but it is a whole lot of wonderful blessings that await. And you're probably thinking, why don't you give us a list? Because the minute I do, it'll become a law. And the minute it becomes a law, then it's a gotta do this or else type of thing. I'll just leave you with this. Do you want the bundle of blessings in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship with Christ? Does it mean the bundle of blessing is a house with a nice white picket fence and flowers all around and children running around just happy, happy, happy? No. But under the authority of Christ, and ultimately under Him, there is blessing to be found, a shalom that the world cannot buy, that a husband can't provide, that only Christ can provide for you. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? It's good. It's a good passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful text. Thank you that you have proven through your word that this passage is neither repressive nor sexist. I pray for the women in our church, those that are who are wives to someone, to husband, or will be one day, that you would impress on each one to pray, to seek your counsel, to sit in your school, and learn from you what it means to submit, to willingly rank themselves under their husband. That there could be such a realization of this blessing that you commanded through this command, experienced in the lives of the women in this church. Prepare us for next week, if you would be willing to allow us to gather to discuss it, that we could find joy in the next section we look at regarding husbands. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.